Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on November 9th, 2020, from my home studio here in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features the latest on the election, comments from Senator Lindsey Graham and House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn on President Donald Trump's decision not to concede the election, what Jamie Harrison's future may hold, and we have news on a promising vaccine. We also look at one of the first moves by the incoming Biden administration on COVID-19 and hear from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell on how the economy is doing. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Leave us your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world. How your Election Day voting experience went, what you think about how things are going right now in the country. If you're worried about a second wave or fall surge, let us know. 803-563-7169. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 3,778 confirmed deaths, and currently there are 176,373 confirmed cases being reported in all 46 counties as of November 9th at 4 p.m. Our case rates are increasing and our test rates are decreasing according to this data as well. Our current percent positive rate is 14.9%, and 746 patients are hospitalized with COVID-19. 194 are in intensive care, and 101 are on ventilators. These rates over the past 30 days have also been steadily increasing. So a lot of data right there, a lot of important numbers. Again, people behind those numbers, of course. But you have to start thinking about what's going to be happening come Thanksgiving and if what that might mean for Christmas as well. So maybe it's time to start thinking if you're going to have a big family Thanksgiving meal or not. I know mine is up for decision. I think we're just going to keep it small, just with my immediate family, not my extended family. So definitely something to think about as we see these numbers increase, not only here, but across the country. Okay, our politics section is chock full of numbers and data. We're transitioning from the lead to Decision Desk 2020. Now, I don't have a magic wall, but could you imagine how good I would look in front of one? I mean, right? So I'm going to need you to use your imaginations here, folks. It's been a week since Election Day, so we're going to do the latest on where things stand. The AP on Saturday called Pennsylvania for former Vice President Joe Biden, which pushed him over the 270 Electoral College votes needed to be named President-elect Joe Biden. Now, we have reactions from some prominent members of South Carolina's congressional delegation in a moment, but I want to give you an overview of some of the states that are still counting votes. So let's start with Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Nonpartisan endorsement. Go Birds.
The AP on Saturday called Pennsylvania for Biden, giving him the necessary electoral college votes to secure the presidency. Biden leads Trump by 45,000 votes as of Monday afternoon, and some 52,000 mail-in ballots remain to be counted in the Keystone State as of Monday. Philadelphia officials still need to process 12,000 ballots and roughly 18,000 provisional ballots, according to the Wall Street Journal. Next up, our neighbor, Georgia.
Georgia!
The AP has not called Georgia yet. Republican Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan said on CNN that there has not been any credible examples of widespread voter fraud in the state. The state's top election official said there will be a recount in the state. Few ballots remain to be counted, and Biden leads Trump by 10,600 votes as of Monday. Gwinnett County, home to Atlanta, has finished counting and certified results. A Democratic candidate has not won the state in 28 years. Now our neighbor to the north, North Carolina.
North Carolina!
The AP has also not called North Carolina. President Trump leads by more than 75,000 votes there. North Carolina Policy Watch said Monday that 160,000 mail-in and provisional ballots are outstanding and aren't expected to shift results of the presidential, U.S. House, Senate, or gubernatorial races in the state. Our distant neighbor to the west, Arizona.
Arizona.
The AP has called Arizona for Biden. Republican Governor Doug Ducey urged patience as officials continue to count more than 80,000 ballots. Biden was leading Trump there by 17,000 votes on Monday afternoon. A Democratic candidate has not won that state in 24 years. And finally, Nevada, which is how I say it, folks.
Nevada? Nevada?
The AP has called Nevada for Biden. Election officials expect to keep counting votes until at least Wednesday, according to the Las Vegas Review. Joe Biden leads with more than 36,000 votes. Absentee ballot counting wrapped up over the weekend, and 2,000 remained in the signature cure phase, in which voters with unsigned or mismatched ballot envelope signatures have until Thursday to fix the problem. About 60,000 provisional ballots, breaking down into roughly equal amounts by party and nonpartisan voters, were being counted Monday. Nevada mailed ballots to every active registered voter this year. And you're saying, Gavin, great, I've been mainlining cable news all weekend. I know all this and more. But what are my local guys saying? Well, if you were watching Fox News over the weekend, Senator Lindsey Graham said on Sunday that, quote, if Republicans don't challenge and change the U.S. election system, there will never be another Republican president elected again. He added that President Donald Trump should not concede. On a Monday press call, House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn echoed a lot of the sentiments he expressed on cable news over the weekend, including how the defunding the police movement and socialism labels cost Democrats seats, including Congressman Joe Cunningham's, and how it hurt Jamie Harrison's bid against Graham. Clyburn told Jake Tapper on CNN Sunday that democracy is teetering. He elaborated on that on Monday.
I would hope that my conservative friends in the Congress will have an intervention or something with this president. This country is bigger than one person. And to allow the people of this country to suffer, we're nearing 245,000 deaths. And we're still messing around and won't give the relief that people need. Our infection rates, it is the worst in the whole world. That's not what we're all about. And it seems to me my conservative Republican friends need to intervene with this president and tell him it is time to stop the campaigning. The campaign is over. We should not be sacrificing this country's safety and security, nor the health and wealth of its people. And that's what this president is doing. And for the Senate or the House to be complicit in this, it's just something I just never expected to see that in this country. I just never expected to see that.
Clyburn said he has no interest in joining the administration after being a kingmaker and everything that happened with this race, but that there may be a place for Jamie Harrison. As for fraud claims, Clyburn said if there was any fraud, why did Democrats lose House seats and Senate seats? He also admitted he may have taken his eye off the ball in South Carolina.
The Republican Party did very well in South Carolina in this election. But I will also say that maybe I took my eyes off the ball because I was working very hard for the presidential. And I might say that 75 million voters, that's more votes than any presidential candidate has ever gotten in the history of this country. So I'll work on getting South Carolina to catch up.
That was a lot of information, and I want to leave you with what's happening in our state. The South Carolina State Board of Canvassers meets Tuesday, November 10th, to certify our November 3rd election results and order any necessary recounts for state-level offices. We'll bring you the latest on that in our Saturday podcast. Certifying results. Super sexy. Last week, the Federal Reserve decided to hold short-term borrowing rates to near zero. This is where the rate has been for the past 7 months. Chairman Jerome Powell said economic activity is still well below where it was pre-pandemic and that the Fed still has options available to help with the recovery. Powell gave this overview in his opening statement during a press conference on November 12th. It's about 3 minutes long, but it's well worth listening to because it's an honest look at our economy.
Economic activity has continued to recover from its depressed second quarter level. The reopening of the economy led to a rapid rebound in activity, and real GDP rose at an annual rate of 33% in the third quarter. In recent months, however, the pace of improvement has moderated. Household spending on goods, especially durable goods, has been strong and has moved above its pre-pandemic level. In contrast, spending on services remains low, largely due to ongoing weakness in sectors that typically require people to gather closely, including travel and hospitality. The overall rebound in household spending owes in part to federal stimulus payments and expanded unemployment benefits, which provided essential support to many families and individuals. The housing sector has fully recovered from the downturn, supported in part by low mortgage interest rates. Business investment has also picked up. Even so, overall economic activity remains well below its level before the pandemic, and the path ahead remains highly uncertain. In the labor market, roughly half of the 22 million jobs that were lost in March and April have been regained, as many people were able to return to work. As with overall economic activity, the pace of improvement in the labor market has moderated. The unemployment rate declined over the past 5 months, but remained elevated at 7.9% as of September. In particular, the high level of joblessness has been especially severe for lower-wage workers in the services sector, for women, and for African Americans and Hispanics. The economic dislocation has upended many lives and created great uncertainty about the future. The pandemic has also left a significant imprint on inflation. Following large declines in the spring, consumer prices picked up over the summer, in part reflecting a rise in durable goods prices. However, for those sectors that have been most affected by the pandemic, prices remain particularly soft. Overall, on a 12-month basis, inflation remains below our 2% longer-run objective. As we have emphasized throughout the pandemic, the outlook for the economy is extraordinarily uncertain and will depend in large part on the success of efforts to keep the virus in check. The recent rise in new COVID-19 cases, both here in the United States and abroad, is particularly concerning. All of us have a role to play in our nation's response to the pandemic. Following the advice of public health professionals to keep appropriate social distances and to wear masks in public will help get the economy back to full strength. A full economic recovery is unlikely until people are confident that it's safe to re-engage in a broad range of activities.
The congressional mandate of the Fed is to strive for maximum employment and promote stable prices. Now we have more on the vaccine in our next section and how that has boosted financial markets. Roll up your sleeve, folks. We got some vaccine news for you. Pfizer announced its coronavirus vaccine is 90% effective, and there have been no safety concerns during its trial. That's substantially better than researchers' estimates of a 60 to 70% effectiveness for the vaccine. Now, during Pfizer's 44,000-person trial, only 94 people contracted COVID-19, and of those, fewer than 9 were among those who received 2 shots of the vaccine, according to the Washington Post. Stat News says that Pfizer will not file for an emergency use authorization to distribute the vaccine until they reach another milestone, when half of the patients in their study have been observed for any safety issues for at least 2 months following their second dose, which will be the third week of November. Pfizer did not join Operation Warp Speed, the governor's financial assistance plan to support pharmaceutical companies in the development of a vaccine. According to the Washington Post, the pharmaceutical giant instead put $2 billion of its own money into the project, partnered with the German biotech firm BioNTech, and then struck a $1.95 billion contract with the U.S. government for 100 million doses, contingent upon the vaccine's effectiveness. Now, the vaccine news, along with Biden's electoral victory, helped set off global markets on Monday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average skyrocketing up some 1,300 points Monday and hitting an all-time high. Now, I hope you all bought Carnival stock when I told you to, because it, along with other travel-related stocks such as airlines, as well as those in the energy and banking industries, had a very good day on Monday. where stocks like Netflix, Wayfair, and Zoom saw some losses. People are excited. People are excited, AT. Lead says buy. And on our way out, President-elect Joe Biden announced his 13-member transition COVID-19 advisory board. It's a team of leading public health experts who will advise him and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris and the transition's COVID-19 staff. The advisory board is led by co-chairs Dr. David Kessler, who served as an FDA commissioner from 1990 to 1997, Dr. Vivek Murthy, who served as President Obama's Surgeon General from 2014 to 2017, and Dr. Marcella Nunez-Smith, who is a professor of internal medicine, public health, and management at Yale, where she is also an associate dean at the School of Medicine. Now, this board also includes Rick Bright, the former head of the vaccine development agency BARDA, who was ousted by the Trump administration in April. The board met for the first time virtually on Monday, and Biden said, quote, "Dealing with the coronavirus pandemic is one of the most important battles our administration will face, and I will be informed by science and by experts. The advisory board will help shape my approach to managing the surge in reported infections, ensuring vaccines are safe, effective, and distributed efficiently, equitably, and free, and protecting at-risk populations," quote. And as we head out, Ben Carson, President Donald Trump's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, has tested positive for COVID-19. Carson attended the White House election night party along with others, including the president's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, who also tested positive for COVID-19. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We talk about life during the pandemic and want to hear your stories as well. How you're handling things, how your COVID-19 tests have been going, what your election week was like, and what are your plans for the holidays? Tell us, 803-563-7169. Leave us a message with your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on. AT, do we have any new messages?
We finally got some messages. I haven't listened to them because I like to be surprised when I hear it.
The element of surprise.
Yeah, the element surprise.
Sydney.
It's the only way I can feel anymore. So let's see what we got. Let's roll it.
Roll tape.
Hello, this is Ben Davis from Greenville, South Carolina, with a update on our Election Day experience. My wife and I decided on Monday that we were going to try and really kind of block out the coverage of the election on Tuesday. And so we decided we were going to fast and pray. So we didn't eat on Tuesday. And after we got the kids to bed, we spent, instead of turning on the TV and watching the election results, we spent some time praying together about the elections, about the nation. And it was really kind of a comforting time and really put our souls at rest. Really appreciated that. Then we enjoyed some protein shakes and kind of chatted about things and got ready for the next day. I checked in with things about 9:15 on Politico to see how things were developing. And didn't spend a whole lot of time, wasn't too surprised at what I saw. I think at that point it looked like it was going to be a tight race. And I think about 9:45 to 10 o'clock, something like that, we turned in. And so it was a really great day. I mean, it was just really relaxing and we didn't feel stressed. I will say the next day on Wednesday, I started following things, see how they went. And it was a little bit more stressful at that point. Kind of wish I had fasted that day too. But it was overall a good election day for our family and for our mental health. Thank you guys for your coverage, especially the local politics. I really appreciate it. It's very helpful to get an update on Saturdays about what's going on locally here in South Carolina. Keep it up. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Ben. I loved hearing about your election experience. That's very interesting, especially trying to put like a little news diet in there. Definitely hard to do these days, especially as we all know that those results are still going forward. Obviously, in our podcast, we're talking about them, but of course, it went through the weekend as well. So a lot of news still happening, but obviously, we do have a president-elect at this point. So not so much the unknown anymore.
bold to try and block it out. I mean, that's tough.
Respect.
I mean,
yeah, because you were watching four channels on one TV at one time.
Yeah, I had the Red Zone channel on. It was great.
Living
that
it.
That was
so,
basically
yeah.
what it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, it definitely takes a toll for sure.
When Biden spoke the other day, I sent Gavin a picture because it has the four channels up and all the delays were different.
Oh,
so
God.
It was the same speech, but it was all at different times. And it was funny. And I was just saying, me and the Joes hanging out.
Just kind of like how we back in public radio and the public radio offices where you have like the speakers going and everything.
With two different radio
two
stations
channels,
on
yeah.
at the same time. Yeah. It soothes my brain that chaotic noise. I don't know. I feel on edge when I don't have that. But
yeah.
Anyway, Gavin, this is your wind down to steer. You have more news than I do.
Yeah,
I didn't do
anything.
I
had
anything,
a pretty chill
so
weekend. I recuperated from my cold. I want to go ahead and give you some Dr. Gavin advice here. Obviously, I'm not a licensed medical professional in any way in this country. Yeah. I should say in this country.
Yeah.
You know, 15
Cayman
miles.
Island's different story.
15 miles out on the open water, maritime law. I am a doctor.
He's a doctor, and he also
also a licensed, licensed financial advisor.
Monkey knife fights, too.
So what I will say to get over a quick cold, if you need it, is to go ahead and get Delsym, that cough medicine. It's
Delsym.
A little bit more expensive, but it is worth it. It has like a higher concentration of good active ingredient there. It really clears up your cold really quick. Also, for nasal decongestant, go generic. Don't ever buy like the name brand, but you have to get the stuff behind the counter. That's
where
you
they
get the good stuff.
That's where they get ya.
You got
name brands.
Name brands. It's not truth.
But also,
I am feeling great.
It was just a cold, right?
It was a cold, yes, because I got tested for COVID on Sunday.
Yes.
I went to my Walgreens, got the results in an hour. Negative, so still batting. Still batting pretty for that. So.
1,000. It's 1,000.
Yes.
What you say?
Thank
you say
the,
you're
the
batting
sports.
1,000.
I'm batting 1,000. That's the sports
and,
analogy.
Every time I hear Delsym, I only think of Dalsim from Street Fighter, the guy who stretched real long. You know what I'm talking about, Dalsim.
No,
but anyway, keep going.
So just a chill weekend. You know, I hung out and then got to go on a boat on Sunday. That was exciting.
Yeah.
On Lake Murray.
But it was no regular boat. Right?
It was a floating recliner. Also known as a pontoon boat. Yes.
Yeah. it had multiple divans and fainting couches on it. Right?
It was, yes. Having a couple of mimosas, just fainting. And I hadn't been on Lake Murray. This is going to be a little humble brag since like 2013 when I ran a sprint triathlon there.
Oh, yeah. Big brag. Good
and I will
you.
Go ahead and tell you this. I registered for the wrong group in that sprint triathlon. So I went off with like the master's group is like the top tier group. So I accidentally registered for that group.
You're playing from the tips.
You know, you open up with that swim and I was pretty far behind the group. It was rough mentally when you're out there in the water like that. Thinking,
your last one? Was it your last one that you've done?
Yeah, I haven't done one of those in a while. I'm still going to run the bridge run in April. I got to get
but
my
you're mentally
gear.
You're mentally scarred from
yeah.
registering
just,
the wrong
yeah,
way.
And it was just, I was not really as prepared. I finished the race, you know, it was a good thing to do back in my early 20s. Now I'm in my undetermined age, people say.
TBD. Doesn't matter.
I'm anywhere from 25 to 35, you know, it's whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Depends
All that
on
matters
the light.
Is how great you look in front of those boards, baby.
Oh, look at this magic wall. And I have been wearing my yellow glasses.
Yeah, he
for
looks
some
like
reason.
Somewhere between Hunter S. Thompson, a conspiracy theorist podcaster, and Johnny Depp from the Ninth Gate, which we've covered on this podcast. So go back.
Still
and
streaming. Check it out. Yeah, I'm all those things right now. But
yes.
It's these are my blue light glasses. I'm just kidding. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
It gets really sunny in here.
The blue light is it causes problems.
It does.
It
I listen to John
problems.
Tesh. I know what's going on.
Tesh, baby. Tesh. Huge
we're,
man.
We're
smart.
Just,
big
yeah.
brain.
NBA theme.
NBA theme. I'm
trying to think. I watched some an old Bond movie over the weekend. R.I.P. Sean Connery.
You watched Aliens.
I watched Aliens last night.
Aliens. Which one's better? Have we gone over this before? Which one's
OG.
Better?
I mean, you get too much complaining in the second one. Just Bill Paxton.
Complaining?
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton is great.
Game over, man.
Game over, man.
And Weyland Yutani, who I'm now an unofficial spokesman for. The company.
Paul Reiser.
As he would.
Paul Reiser.
Oh.
He's like the softest bad guy of all time, you know, in his
so
puffy
skeevy.
Vest. He is 10-ply in that movie. What a scumbag.
But yeah, that was my weekend. I'm here to live and tell the tale. And anything you want to add, AT? Anything?
Me? I had a really uneventful weekend.
You golfed?
Caitlin, my wife, I golfed on Saturday, and then Sunday she just wanted to hang at home because, I mean, she still has to work at the bar and everything, mm-hmm. but hanging at home is just what I do all the time, every day. So
how often is Caitlin getting tested?
How often?
Yeah.
I mean, not all the time, but regularly. Yeah,
because she's interacting with the people, but she's also taking every precaution. I mean, she's hyper aware.
Oh, people show up to Craft and Jeff because they know how clean my wife is.
Mm-hmm. I will say I'm also trying to get back in reading. You know, I was doing a lot of reading over the summer. Then everything kind of went off the rails.
Yes.
And I have a lot of books in my queue on my Kindle, including Dune, which is...
Dune.
It's a hard one because I start to go to sleep.
It's not hard.
It.
It's so good.
Unlike the other books I read, I'm like, yeah, page turner. This one, I'm like, how many different names does one person have?
It's a genre-defining sci-fi space opera. And you're like, snore. I don't understand what you want.
I'm just like, I'm going to
have
to wait for
those glasses say that you like Dune.
Yeah.
But
I'm a poser,
they're
man.
Writing a check that your brain can't cash.
I'm just getting back into the reading thing, you know. Got to get back into it because it's the cold winter is approaching.
The
daylight
cold, hard
saving
winter.
Time.
Oh, it's already bad. Meg Kinnard, our very good friend, she tweeted out today that the 2024 campaign trail is starting.
Oh, yeah.
And that is just, Meg, if you're listening, which I know you are, a walk in the morning or something like that, unacceptable. I'm not ready for that. I don't want that. No. Delete the tweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll be there soon enough, folks. But again, let us know what you're doing, what's going on in your world, what you're reading.
How good you'd look in front of a video board. Delete the tweet.
Delete.
Gavin.
Thanks again, y'all, for listening to the pod. Show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on iTunes. And again, not necessarily a critique or a voicemail that you would leave on our voicemail, but just a review. Some people have been leaving messages.
You can critique
that
it.
Well, you can, but there's been some people leaving like comments that would be better off on the voicemail.
Put the first chapter of Moby Dick on there. I don't care.
As long as
it's five stars.
And you can also leave us a voicemail. You can leave us a voicemail, 803-563-7169. Also, stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at just $40. And if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Even if they start bleeding, they're staying on.
My eyes are bleeding. I'm keeping them on, thank you.
The Crocs stay on.